Both Peter and Paul in various epistles talk about the concept of spiritual milk, and that new Christians, or we could also probably include in that young children, need to receive spiritual milk before receiving solid food. Just as a young infant receives spiritual or receives milk from their mother's breast before having solid food. And so there are such things as less mature Christians and more mature Christians, and they do need different things spiritually at different times in their life. I think an example of this can be found in the Ten Commandments as we read it in Exodus 20 today. And you can think about the way that we teach children or that we teach new Christians the Ten Commandments. We don't have them memorize all of Exodus 21 through 17, but instead we just teach them the basic list. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so on and so forth. That we teach a basic list and then some basic explanations to go along with that as they mature. We teach them to recite one sentence version of the Ten Commandments. And that is good and right. It is good and right to give that basic spiritual milk. It is easy to digest, and it is easy, in one sense, to understand. And the goal with the Ten Commandments in this case is pretty basic. That new Christians and young children, and also, as we'll talk about in a little bit, really all Christians, in this basic way, would understand the basic will of God in their life. And they would be afraid to break that will or to break those laws out of fear of God's wrath. We call this the curbing use of the law. It's like a curb on the road. It keeps you on the straight and narrow. It is good that we teach children, we teach new Christians the Ten Commandments in this basic way, that they would know, for instance, when they hear the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that God wants them to be in church on Sunday morning. And that even if it's simply out of fear of God's wrath, that they would come to church on Sunday morning and receive what is good for them. Of course, there's a more mature way to think about why you want to go to church on Sunday morning when you're a mature Christian. But even a very basic understanding is still good. Similarly, it is good for people to know that as Christians, we do not scheme to steal from our neighbors, or scheme to get our neighbor's possessions in some dishonest way, but that we would help people protect their possessions and income, that we would go to each other and help them maintain their house and help them maintain their money. That's the seventh commandment. And even if these things are done simply out of fear of God's wrath or fear of shame, that is not a bad thing. That is a basic understanding, and that is good. And similarly, a basic understanding of God's law also includes, maybe even more importantly than that curbing use, the use that we call the mirror, that they would look into the law, that you would look into those Ten Commandments, and you would see in those Ten Commandments your own sin. That you could look at the law as a mirror, and it would reflect to you where you need to repent. When we see what the law says about idolatry, what it says that we should fear and love and trust in God above all things, it's the first commandment, we can see where we've made idols for ourselves out of money or out of time or even out of our own families. Whatever the case may be, we can see that we need to repent. Or when we see what the law says about stealing, we can see how we've been lazy and slothful, and stolen from our families or stolen from our work or even stolen from our church in this way. And so those things are basic, yes, but you can see how we already slipped into the first person plural talking about all of us here. And that is because while basic things are especially for, in some sense, new Christians, young children, the basic things are also for all of us. To put it another way, even though we can distinguish between spiritual milk and spiritual solid food, you never stop drinking milk. If you want your bones to be strong, you need the calcium, and so you keep drinking the milk too. And so while the curbing use and the mere use may be the most simple ways to understand God's law and to learn from God's law, both how to live and where to repent, we need those things all the time too. No matter where you are in your faith, no matter where you are and how long you've been a Christian and how much you've read your Bible and how much you've come to church and how close you are, if you want to use that language with Jesus, it is always good to go back to the basics. We must always be afraid of God's wrath, and we must always look at the law and see where we need to repent. But to move on from that, I think you can see in Exodus 20 and also in Romans 6 and Matthew 5 from today's readings, where the Ten Commandments do not simply stop at a list of 10 sentences, but instead have much more solid food, if you will, to offer. And I think you can see that in the way that Exodus 20 is actually structured and written. It is not just a simple list of 10 commandments given to the people of Israel. In fact, it was a mistake of the Pharisees later on, as we'll talk about in Matthew 5, to turn it into only a basic checklist. That as long as I check these things off my list, as long as I don't work on the Sabbath day, then all the Ten Commandments are fulfilled, and now I've gained favor with God in heaven, and now I can live however I want outside of that because the list is checked off. That would be a mistake. That would be Pharisaism. But the Ten Commandments are more than a simple list. They are solid food. And you can see that in Exodus 20. They're not just a list. In fact, they're paragraph form, really. And God includes so much more detail here that we can learn from. So first of all, you can see how he starts the Ten Commandments. He begins, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." He begins with the gospel promise telling you who he is. And he continues in this way too. He says, speaking of the first commandment, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who love me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." And furthermore, in the third commandment, he shows you that what he asks you to do is modeling something that he did. Just as the Lord made the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them in 6 days and rested on the seventh, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Therefore, you too remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Or in the fourth commandment, when he says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And I think the spiritual food or the deeper nourishment that we can see here is this, that what God wants to portray to you here is that this law is good for you. He is the Lord who brought you out of slavery to sin and into the freedom of the gospel. He is the one who baptized you that you would die with Christ and therefore also be raised with him and live in that freedom to live to God, dead to sin. And if he is that God, then what he tells you here must be for your good. For the God who saves you does not want to give you something that is hard for you or poisonous for you. There can be no poison in the cup that the physician sends. We heard in the psalm that his precepts are good. They revive the soul. When he says, I am a jealous God and I want you to be mine, I want to be your God and I want you to be my people, that the laws he gives you, the commands he gives you, they are to that end. When he says to you that, look, I have modeled this for you in the way that I even made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day, and I want you to model that in your life as well, that it is a good and godly thing to do. When he says, I want you to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, he is telling you these things are beneficial in your life. The law of God is good and wise. It helps you. And so, yes, in one way you can look at it, spiritual milk, in a basic way. You can be afraid of God's wrath if you break these commandments, and that is good. And you can look at these commandments and see where you need to repent in your life, and that is also primary, and it is good. But the third use of the law that we talk about in Lutheran theology, which is also good, is that the law for the Christian, for the mature Christian, the Christian who is maturing, I should say, is the guide. That these laws can guide you how to live in your life. They are not just a list of 10 commandments to fulfill as a checklist because you're afraid of being shamed by God, but they are a good image of the good life. And that is also the point Paul makes actually there in Romans 6. That if we are baptized into Christ and we have died to sin with him as he died to sin on the cross and have been raised with him to a new life, then this new life will be full of following and living out these good commands of the Lord. The life we live to God. We do not continue in sin that grace may abound, by no means, but we live a good life to the life of God. That we would do the things that the law commands, not to earn favor with God, not because we're afraid of God's wrath, but because it's who you are. Because God gave it to you for your good. That you would consider God as your only God, that you would live by his name as a baptized child of him, that you would honor his word and set aside time to worship him, that you would love the ordered relationships that he's put you in with one another, that you would help your neighbor in his body, that you would love your spouse and practice self-control, that you would help your neighbor protect his things and his reputation, and put the best construction on situations, that you would encourage each other in your vocations, that his law would guide you to live in these good and excellent ways. And that's also, as it happens, what Matthew is getting at, or Jesus is getting at in Matthew 5. Again, these commandments are not just a checklist. Listen to how Jesus wants to broaden the law for the Christian. He wants to take away that ability to be Pharisaical, to say, oh, I haven't done this one narrow thing, therefore I must be good to go. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. The law is broad. And you can look at that two ways. One, it catches us in all our sin. There's that mirror again. None of us have never been angry. None of us have never not been angry with a brother. Of course we have. We must repent. But on the other hand, that broadness also shows us that we have so much loving of God and loving of our neighbor that we can do. It doesn't just have to be a narrow thing, but we can love the best way possible. The question is never for the Christian, what can I do and get away with? The question is, how do I love the best that I can? That's the mature Christian speaking. And so, dear saints, as you consider these 10 commandments, consider these questions. Do not only drink spiritual milk, considering the law as just a curb to sin, or even as just a mirror for repentance. Definitely consider it those things, but also consider it a good guide in your life. A guide showing you God's perfect precepts and his wonderful law, which we rejoice in. A law showing you a good life. A law showing you the life that Christ lived in your place. And that now we pick up our cross and we follow him. And in that life, you get to eat, if you want to think of it this way, spiritual steak. And that is very good. And that's who you are. To him be all the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.